Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil, John, and McKenna are back. And today we have another defining episode for you. Today we are talking about Mike White's. This is the first of our David vs. Goliath episodes. And I just want to preface this whole entire stretch of David versus Goliath that we are going to do. These episodes are very interchangeable, okay? Mm-hmm. The one that we chose for Mike could easily be Angelina's. The one that we chose for Christian could easily not be Christian's. And the one that we chose for Angelina could have been all three of these people's. But we needed to kind of choose which one felt like it fit best with each player. And it wasn't just what's their biggest move. It was like what really defined them as a player and what do we think best encompassed who they are as a character and what we're probably going to see for them on season 50. So without further ado, we are actually doing Jackets and Eggs, episode number 5 of David vs. Goliath for Mike White, which might surprise some people because this is obviously when Angelina infamously just kept saying, Natalie, can I have your jacket? Can I have your jacket? Can I have your jacket? But it's also probably the defining episode of what Mike White's game was and how he doesn't take enough credit for what he does. And that's ultimately why I think he loses. So this is the episode where Natalie goes home in a 3-2 vote and Mike sides with Lyrsa and Nick to go against the Goliaths, despite the fact that Natalia had gone home the episode before. So a Goliath had been lost and Mike makes a strategic decision rather than going with tribal line. So that's Mike White's episode. And that's what we're going to be talking about right now.
I think it's really interesting when you investigate this, and I think it goes back to what you were saying there, Phil, just about how all of these episodes are kind of interchangeable for these people for David versus Goliath, and it's really how Survivor was editing this season as a whole. We got a lot about a lot of people in a lot of episodes, and especially those who go deep into the game, and while this particular episode doesn't feature a lot of Mike White, those moments we do get from him really do put into place where he ends up going in the game and why he can't end up getting the votes to win at the end.
Yeah. And it shows his ability to work with a lot of different personalities as well, because we hear in his confessionals throughout the 3 David versus Goliath episodes that we have watched, this person is really getting on my nerves. This person's really getting on my nerves, but they all come to him and are like, all right, so we know you're voting with us. I trust you, et cetera, et cetera. So like his camouflage ability is really, he is really good at just, you know, maneuvering throughout camp and maneuvering throughout the personalities and people.
Yeah, he's so good at it. And what he's even more impressive at in this episode is he convinces Nick to get Natalie out of the game. He goes to Nick and says, I want to get rid of Natalie. And Nick, of course, is on board with it. They got the Rockstar Alliance and, you know, that's what's going to happen here. And they're going to air guitar their way back. Nick obviously on board with it because he has no other option. But what Mike does is he pushes this without getting Angelina mad at him, right? Angelina could easily be, oh, Mike, I'm not doing that. Blow it up. Go tell Natalie. Natalie, I don't forget how gold she is on TV, but rewatching this episode, it's like, oh my God, she's just like one of the best casting choices of that era. Really, David versus Goliath really shows how much stronger like casting could be than what we've seen in some of the new era seasons. I know people really hype up the new era seasons because we've seen different aspects of people and, you know, more diversity and stuff. But it feels to me when I was watching David versus Goliath, I'm like, there's a lot of diversity in this cast, and this cast is so good. Like, they are top to bottom watching these 3 episodes. And Natalie, who's 16th place or 15th place, whatever it is, obviously we didn't watch these in order, so I don't really remember. I think she's 16th, but she goes in 16th place, and she's such a great character. And the way that Mike has to navigate the landmine that is Natalie Cole and the other landmine that is Angelina Keeley to make sure that this happens and he doesn't blow up in the mix, because this easily could have turned into Lyrsa and Nick getting word, like Natalie blowing it up and Lyrsa and Nick saying, we could have a 4-1 and nobody likes Natalie. So why don't we go that route and actually vote out Mike? Because now Natalie's, and he doesn't do that. And he's so subtle and it's very masterful. And I think that's why after this happened, and Mike White obviously does the White Lotus years later, when this season aired and he came close to winning and some people felt that Mike should have won, I never really saw it because I feel like his game is so subtle. And so now that he's got like the White Lotus name behind him, it makes sense that he's playing again. But I almost feel like if he didn't have the White Lotus, he might not play again because a lot of the brilliance of his game is so, so hidden.
And I think to that point, he tells Nick to pull in Angelina, not Mike bringing in this thing, oh, I'm betraying. It's like, no, grab Angelina, tell her what's going on, because then that plan is coming from Nick, who she'd expect to target a Goliath.
And that is where a lot of Mike's strength comes from, is his ability to, and yes, it's to his detriment later in the game, but it is his ability to not have to take credit for big moves. Mm-hmm. It's something that, and especially now, right, especially now in the new era where we see so many people talking about their big moves, what they need to do and everything, Mike's totally fine suggesting something and having someone else take the credit for it, which is honestly, beyond like the White Lotus of it all, could be his strongest trait going into Survivor 50, is that he doesn't have the ego that some of these other players coming in will have that will end up clashing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Everyone is mentioning White Lotus, obviously, because that's what's hot. But I need to thank the man for School of Rock, because I work for School of Rock, so he's keeping me employed, me employed.
You work for School of Rock now?
Yeah, currently.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wait, so on like the show, the Broadway show?
No, like there's a franchise, School of Rock, that I believe Jack Black started, but without his movie.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, so I work at a School of Rock that helps teach kids music.
I didn't know that. So there you go. So you really have to be thanking him. All right. Didn't expect that.
We got to save that for everything we need to know.
Yeah, everything we need to know about Mike White. No, I mean, I like School of Rock, and obviously I knew him from that when the season aired. I know Alexa and I talked a lot about School of Rock. He had done Orange County. He's done a bunch of different movies. Nacho Libre is the one that I always go to. But
top tier.
It is like White Lotus has put him on a different level.
Yeah.
And I think that that's going to be very interesting to see if people go along with the subtle stuff that he was throwing down here. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a larger than life character to his name yet. When he played on David versus Goliath, he was a Goliath and people knew who he was, but he could get away with these, oh, I'm going to subtly put this in. He's the one who goes to Lyrsa and says, Natalie's awful. We need to get her out of this game. I can't do it. And he's bonding with Lyrsa. He's bonding with Nick in a way that Lyrsa and Nick aren't going to go talk to Natalie now. He's in control of that. I don't know if he'll be able to do that again because of the level that he's
so. I feel like that's repeatable for him because he is endearing. And I feel like he has a different vibe than a David Wright who when he's just like, this is not my, normal situation. I feel like Mike White takes it differently and has a different spin on it. And I think he would be able to make those like side comments of, yeah, man, we really got to eliminate whoever D's got to go, man. She's too threatening, and just walk away and leave it faster.
I think when we look at Mike White and even like prior to the White Lotus and everything, there's a reason why his cast members are appearing as cameos in this show. It's because he continued that relationship with them after the game. He is an endearing person that everyone on that cast liked. And I don't think that's a coincidence. And it doesn't have to do with his stardom or anything. It just has to do with him as a person and him as a Survivor fan. And I think that's something we kind of forget sometimes when we think about Mike White, right? Mike White's the reason Redemption Island stopped.
Thank God, huh?
Yeah. But right. Like, and we see that in this episode. Like you said, when he goes to Lyrsa and is just connecting, he has this ability to subtly, like, almost incept the idea into someone else in a way where it seems so natural. And it's what we see from some of the most masterful players in any of these social strategy games that we've watched over the last 2.5 decades.
Are we sure he didn't work on Inception?
He did not. That I can guarantee you. Yeah, it's very, and that's why ultimately, like, when we chose this episode, I know McKenna, you watched it first, and then John watched it and said, I don't know if this should be the episode. And we had that conversation because he's really not in much of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But it, when you go and you actually start to look at, okay, what was Mike's game the entire season? Just to look at Mike White's confessional count, because I think that this is actually very telling of like the type of game that he played. And again, why I think that if it wasn't for the White Lotus, we probably wouldn't be seeing him again. And forgive me, I'm going on suck. So if my computer crashes, that's why. But he ended the season with 47 confessionals, which was third most on the season behind only Angelina and Nick. So that sounds like awesome. Great. Good for Mike. 16 of those 47 were in the last two episodes. So he was at 31 going into episode 13. That's barely higher than Kara. Kara had 25, mm-hmm. right? Davey had 33. So Davey was ahead of him. Christian had 37 going into that moment. So like, Mike wasn't the star of the season by any means. And in the post-merge of this season, he gets a little bit lost. Episode 7, first episode of the merge, 1 confessional. Episode 8, 4. Episode 9, 1. Episode 10, 0. Episode 11, 5. Episode 12, 0. So he goes up and down. And that's the type of game that in the new era has actually really worked. Mm-hmm. Where not necessarily from a confessional count standpoint, obviously if Mike was going to win, they would have given him more confessionals. But this is a Hollywood actor, a guy who wrote these movies already, who now does The White Lotus, and he's got multiple episodes with zero confessionals as the second place finisher on the season. And I think that's just because he doesn't need to be the star of the show. Mm-hmm. And that's what the winners of the new era have been. The only one who you can say was the star of the show for the most part, but was still overshadowed by the true star of the show is Jam Jam. Yeah. And he's overshadowed by Carolyn. If he plays with any other cast, I don't know if Jam Jam wins, because the people who blend tend to be the winners in the new era.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing is, like, there's so much of that post-merge is driven by Mike's gameplay, too. Mike is very much this linchpin to keeping the Goliaths together just long enough so they can get the hold, and it kind of falls apart with the John Hennigan boot, but he's still the one maneuvering, the one connecting with the Goliath or the Davids as it goes on and everything. So despite the fact that he doesn't get confessionals, he's still so pivotal to the game.
Yeah.
And yes, we don't have him explaining that, but the edit does it for us. Like it's like the Joe episode that we talked about before, right? Where Joe doesn't have a single confessional in the episode with Eva, but he's so present in just the conversations happening. And that's how Mike feels throughout this entire season.
Mm-hmm. And he's also the one to preach Goliath strong, but know when he needs to pivot away, because a lot of the other Goliaths were, no, we need to stick Goliath strong. Wait, should we make a move? No, we shouldn't. And then Mike was like, all right, see ya. Mm-hmm. And knew when to make that switch to work with Nick and Angelina, kind of get Jabini back together.
Well, and this is where, again, we could be doing any episode. Like, we're already talking about it. These episodes blur the three that we chose for David versus Goliath. Mike White is the reason why Carl goes home, and why whatever was starting to work there with the Davids ultimately falls apart. Why four of your final five, right? It's four of your final five. No, what place is Allison yet?
Five.
Yeah, she's fifth. Yeah. Four of your final five are Goliaths. And it kind of happens, like, all of the momentum goes with the Davids. And that Carl boot flips everything on its head. Now, that worked in Nick's favor because Nick was a part of that. But that's when everything really shifted, and everything changed. And that was Mike White's doing. It's a 5-4 vote. If Mike votes out Allison, it's over. And his alliance voted for Allison.
Right. Exactly.
So
I think he just really makes these just subtle, you don't even need to know that he's there, kind of moves. The one thing that I was like, no, I think we need to keep it, was you know, that conversation with Nick to go loop in Angelina. I think that really, like, that one scene really defines him maneuvering the chess pieces without anybody knowing that he's actually ushering them to make moves.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to his reads of people too. His greatest strength isn't just even like his strategic mind. It's the fact that he can very much mirror, and maybe it has to do with him being in Hollywood, being a writer, being an actor and all that, but he has this ability to mirror every single person he's talking to and provide the exact right response to how they are reacting. It's like the conversation with Lyrsa. It's like, yeah, okay, Lyrsa thinks Natalie sucks. I can lean on that to build this bond. Talking to Nick, right? Like, he's going along with like the Rockstar Alliance in the first place, and then having the know-how to approach Nick and suggest, yes, maybe rope in Angelina on this. It'll be better for us moving forward. It's that specific social ability that Mike has that, I mean, really, there are very few Survivor players who can match it. And like, maybe like two or three on the cast of 50, and that's it.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, they always tell you when it's Survivor casting, be yourself, but to an 11. Mike White deals with people acting at an 11 all the time. He's got to deal with the egos and the personalities. And most people who work with Mike White want to work with him again or do work with him again, right? Like, Jack Black and him have a very strong relationship. And it seems like that is something where Lyrsa's blowing up and Lyrsa's getting pissed and Natalie's getting pissed and Angelina's doing her thing. And Mike knows how to handle all of that and then turn around and go to the normal guy who's working over in craft services and say, hey, Nick, like, we're just going to vote out Natalie here. Like, this is too much. But he knows how to balance those egos. One of my favorite moments of this episode is actually when Angelina asks Natalie the first time for the jacket after Natalie is voted out of the game. Mike White is sitting behind her and he just puts his head in his hands and he's just shaking his head, and his reaction, his facial reaction is blocked. But it also just goes where he's like, this woman has no idea how to read the room. And you can see that he's getting like the secondhand embarrassment, but doesn't want to let it be seen because he knows that he's going to have to work with Angelina in the future. But in his head, he's going, I cannot believe she is doing this right now.
You just told Natalie to try and get someone else's jacket and then knowingly vote her out. Well, she didn't vote her out.
She didn't vote for her. She tried to play, but still.
Yeah. And then asked for the jacket. Like, the audacity.
It's crazy. It's next level craziness. And that's where
I would be Mike, just like, oh no.
Yeah. And Mike is so good at that. Again, he doesn't have to be front and center. He doesn't have to say, Angelina, sit down. What are you doing? He doesn't have to laugh in Angelina's face. He doesn't have to Tony clap in anybody's face. He just can't believe it.
And that's something subtle to the camera too, of like, you picked up on that. He also has like subtle, like, the wine moment of like, ooh, tea. You know, he has these subtle camera moments too that play toward the audience that endear us to him a little bit more as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that just comes from a life working in the film industry, right?
Like, right,
he knows,
yes.
He knows how to produce television, and he knows a little better now. So it'll be very interesting to see how he approaches that, because I think it's pretty fair to say Mike White is probably the biggest name associated as a Survivor fan at this point in time, right?
As a fan, yes. I mean, I know Jimmy Kimmel?
Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon is also a fan.
But like Mike White with the White Lotus is probably up there as like one of the biggest and most popular Survivor fans
too. Like, there's a bunch of people from The Office, but yeah. Mike.
Yeah.
But most relevant going into this season. And there's been so much discussion about the White Lotus of it all. And is that going to drag Mike? I don't think it's that big of a deal. I really don't. I think he is disarming enough as a person that it'll be completely pushed to the back of people's minds. And they'll just be like, I actually just like spending time with Mike White. And how many times have we seen these returning player seasons where people have been like, it's all just about who you enjoy spending time with on that island.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. It's true. All right. Anything else about Mike White's episode here? Or do you think we're good?
No, I think we're good.
Again, he doesn't do a lot, but he's there. And he's the deciding vote, and it really sets the game trajectory going. So next, we're going to go back into the new era, our second to last new era, because Riz God and Savannah's numbers aren't up yet. So we'll be doing those after season 49. So we're a little bit off, where Rick Devens is actually going to be the final person that we talk about. But next, we'll be going back to the new era to talk about Emily. And really not surprising probably to anybody, we're doing How Am I the Mobster, which is episode number 10 and is the Bruce boot from that season. So that's what we'll be covering next time. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and I hope you've been enjoying this series. If you haven't checked out our other episodes, make sure you do. Also check out Everything You Need to Know About, which has been a lot of fun. And become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, and we will see you next time with Emily.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.